before we pray, I would like you to remember a friend of mine. As I pull in the parking lot, he sent me a message, and is my precious brother in Tanzania, who took me. We drove throughout the country, and he just sent me a WhatsApp text that his oldest daughter, Joanne, she's a little bit, you know, mentally retarded, but may not too, but a little bit, and challenge. I'll say thank you, honey. You have to use the proper term these days, right? A little bit mentally challenged. And yesterday, he just sent me that yesterday they went to a wedding, in fact, at a church, where one of the church where I was. And after that, they haven't seen her. She's gone missing since yesterday. So let's pray. I know wherever she's at, the Lord sees her, and we pray that the Lord protect her until they find her, and may the Lord guide them through her path to find her or bring her back. But let us pray. Dear precious Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning for your grace and mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. And Father, we can never thank you enough for all what you've done for us. You love us so much. And Father, we are here this morning to glorify you, because that's the only purpose that you created men for, is to glorify you. And Father, we are here just to do that. And Father, we pray that may you help us this morning to glorify you. Father, help me to bring this message, this teaching, Father, to your children that you died for. Father, help me help each one of us. Father, bless the service. And Father, I just got this message from my precious brother and friend, Brother Jackson Palanjo from Tanzania. His daughter, Joanne, since yesterday from the wedding, is lost. They can't find her. But Father God, I know, O Lord Jesus, thou art the omnipotent God. You see everything. Yes. Father, you know where she's at now. You know exactly where she's at. And Father, I pray that, Lord, may you send your angel, Father, to protect her, be with her, keep every harm away from her, yes. Keep her from getting to any harm, and Father, may you protect her, Father, and Lord, help her to find her way back. And Father, I pray that I may also help the parent to find her. Oh God, may you surround her with your love, Father, and grace, Lord. We thank you for everything, Lord. We believe that, Father, what we ask you, Father, you say, ask and it shall be given unto you. And Father, you see, Father, how much your son, Jackson Pounder, and his wife, they love you, they want to serve you, want to do everything. But we know many times the devil just wants to come and throw something in our path to distract us. But God, we know that you, Lord Jesus, in Joanne, is greater than the devil that's trying to make her lost. So, Father, we commit her into your hands, and Lord, we'll be waiting to hear the good report that she's found, and we give you the glory and the honor in Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. 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 All right, so let's read quickly John, 1 John 5:14. Ready? 1 John, 1st Epistle of John, chapter 5, and verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And that's a scripture I have from home. And when I saw that text of the brother, I know he hears our prayers. Amen. Amen. If any man, no, if, no, I'm sorry, 15 now. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have desire of him. Amen. What a confidence. Amen. Amen. It's this morning. I said, what? I have many scriptures to read. But I said, we don't have time. And I was praying, Lord, what scripture should we read? And the Lord put this on my heart out of many scriptures. And so I know, and this coming, I believe, I have faith that God many times gives us little signs to show that he hears our prayers.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We just have to believe that he does not lie. Amen. You may be seated. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. So last time when I was here 2 weeks ago, I started on a series on prayer. I started prayer. But it's because I was in a course of wanting to, teaching on the Lord's Prayer. And we finished 3 petitions, and I was preparing to preach, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And as we saw, the first 3 petitions of the, there are 7 petitions in the Lord's Prayer. And like I said, from the book, in the book of Matthew, there are 5 verses, 7 petitions, and the first 3 were just for God, glory. And then the other 4 is us. But then, when we begin to approach God, to ask God something, we should approach him in the proper way. So I realized that the Lord diverted. I was preparing to preach, give this day our daily bread. The Lord diverted my whole attention to what is prayer. Because we need to know how to approach him.
Amen.
Amen? So there's no need to just say, this is what it is, what is it, if you don't know how to approach it. Amen? If I tell you, you know, you're going to, this is where Washington, this is all those monuments. If you don't have a car together, if you don't know how to get, how are you going to get there? Amen? So, by God's grace, when we come back from Israel in May, my turn come back, I will come back to, if the Lord willing, I'll come back to and give her this day our daily bread, which the very, that by itself, just that verse by itself, will take us the whole month of May. Just give us this day our daily bread.
Amen.
So that's why I didn't want to start it today, because I haven't finished also on the prayer. So prayer, could you put the thing, please? I just want to give here. All right, so prayer, as we started last time, it's a, I think I lost some, oh, Joshua, my thing opened, and look at the battery came out, I found them here. Could you please come and put the batteries in for me? Take it back there. All right, so prayer, as we saw, is a very, very important as a Christian, in Christian's life. Prayer is the most powerful tool that we have, and yet is very underestimated. It's a very powerful tool that God puts in our hands, and yet we don't use it. We don't. After I study prayer, I'm wondering how many of us really pray. Amen. When times say, I'm praying for you, I want to pray, I'm doing this. You know, hymns, songs, and all that, those are that form of prayer. Okay, the psalm that we read, they're all prayer, the songs. Many times you see singing, like Paul said, Mentor said, through hymns, psalms, and all that. They're all forms of prayer. But prayer is the most powerful tool that bonds the individual, redeem individual, fill the Holy Ghost to his God. Amen? Without that prayer, there's no bonding. And that paternity that we spoke about for the very, very beginning, that paternity does not exist. Okay? You can't be a Christian without being bonded to your father. That just does not work. Okay? So quickly, I'll go. This is the last time. So the Joshua, I don't see the. Anyway, the process of prayer is to help remove all that which cover up, you know, inhibit ourselves from being one with God. All right, we saw that, and let's move to the next slide, please. This is just to bring the first one. Next slide, please. No, there's one more before that. Okay, so the conclusion last time, we said tefillah is in the city to be an introspection that result in bonding between the creature and the creator, as a child would bond with his father. That's prayer. It's not just, oh, you know, Lord, I need car, I need a job, I need this one. Oh, so-and-so happened, so-and-so. You have to first bond with him. Look, he said, seek what? The kingdom of God first, and all the rest will do what? Shall be added. Amen. And look the way he structured the prayer himself, God. When he started prayer, what he didn't start from, like he said, oh, Lord, thank you, Father, for giving me this. Thank you for giving my job. No, he didn't even start from there. He said, our Father who art in heaven, the first repetition is to do what? Is to seek the kingdom of God. Next slide, please. The first repetition is to seek the kingdom of God. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. All that is seeking the kingdom. Say the rest. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us. All those shall be added. All those are part of the atonement. In Isaiah 53:5, he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our sin fell upon him. Amen? And by his stripes, we are healed. And on the cross, the last thing he said, it is finished. When you see the kingdom, all the rest shall be added. So when you go into prayer, the main thing is seeking. That's the introspection. God, is there anything in me that will not glorify you? Share me, Lord. Show me. Is there anything in me today? But you see, but when we go to prayer, our main thing is focus. That's what we want. But that need is it finished on the cross. That's part. But what he wants is for him to be glorified in you. The rest is to be added. He know you need heal. He know you need to be healed. He know you need a car. He know you need this. That's why he said in a prayer to begin with, when you go there, don't use vain repetition and be repeating as though you say those things is what make God hear you. Before the foundation, he knew. Before the foundation of the world, he saw the end before the beginning. Amen. And that's why he saw everything that will happen to you. He see the stream of life, everything you go through, and he killed the lamb. And that gave her the confidence to come to him as children. But what God wants to see God on 2 feet, 2 eyes walking on the earth to show Satan that your plan never worked. Amen. You never have the title deed. You never have the astral book. Amen. These are my children. But you see, the devil brought all those things. All those things that happened is because of the evil that brought all those things that we need. So the devil thinks he can distract us by putting attention on those things so that we miss what is our main purpose, that God walking on earth. I learned a song this Wednesday that I'll be playing to learn it. And that song I can't get over. It's a Jewish song. He said that if my mouth was filled with song as the ocean, If my lips can utter joyous song, I'm not just any song, joyous song at the vast expense of the heavens. If he can let me live 1,000 and thousands and thousands and thousands of years, it won't even be enough to thank him. Amen. It won't be even enough to bless his name. That's why God wants us. But many times we get down to our knees. I don't have this. Oh, God, I don't have this. Oh, this one and that one and that. Amen? So, Brother Abraham said here, we're going to talk about Abraham. He said, why? He kept himself in the spiritual atmosphere all the time. And this is a quote that was for you. I don't know how many of you are subscribed to Lifeline. Lifeline is a new thing that Voice of God. This one just came because Joshua and I were talking about it. He drew my attention on that. He said he kept his spiritual atmosphere all the time. That he could recognize him from, he could recognize right from wrong all the time. That's the way the Christian ought to do today, is keep yourself prayed up in the spiritual atmosphere always, never seeing the bad side, looking to the good side. And we have this that we say, always look at the bottle half empty, right? Half full. I'm going to say it the other way. Always look at the bottle half full, all right? Always looking to the good side. You are children of God expecting his blessings. You see what I'm saying? You are expecting his blessing. You are his children. That's what he died for. But the devil distracts us because he knows that when you have that joy, when bad thing happens to you, when bad thing happens, you can still be there communicating, bonding with him. You glorify him. The devil say, what's going on? And in the Lifeline, they send some video. You see about people miss the time, miss the anger, miss the showing that how they're trying to distract children of God. It doesn't work. God wants you to not be distracted. You see, Abraham, no matter what happened to him, he kept himself in that spiritual. And you should always, when bad things, look, Jesus said, Paul said in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love God. It's not just certain things or certain things. You see, when something happened to you, yes, you may make a mistake, sure, because we are all human beings. But when you make that mistake, you say, oh God. You come to that bonding, oh God. You said in your word, that all things work together for good for those who love you. Your word does not lie. And God, here I am, your son. I made this mistake. This does seem like a misfortune. God, get glory out of it. And see if God does not get his glory out of that. Amen? Something happened to me. I know it's my fault. At home, I'm building something. I'm building a wall, and maybe I trusted the people too much. I paid them, and they do a very bad job. Very bad, very bad, very bad. And it happened, and here I am. I was preaching love. And the Lord told me, now what are you going to do? And immediately, through my mind, began to connect the scriptures. When your enemy thirsts, give him drink. Blessed those who curse you. And because I'm getting ready to preach love, how can you preach something if you don't experience it? If you just preach that you're only preaching it from an intellectual standpoint. If you preach it, you're only preaching because you can read. If you preach that you're preaching because you can read, you can repeat what Brother Abraham said. You can repeat what the Bible said. But you have to preach it from the heart. Amen. I got on my knees. I said, oh God, yes, it's my fault to not have been pay attention. But you said, all things work together for good for those who love you. Amen. Oh God, help me. Out of this mistake, God, I pray that may you get a glory out of this. Amen. Get glory out of it. Amen? Amen? And I pray for that the contractor. Say, God, bless them. Give them more job. Just don't let them take advantage of other people. But bless them, give them job, give them more. Because that's what the Bible said, bless souls who curse you. If your enemy thirsts, give him drink. Do unto others as you wish they do to you. Then I say, God, I would have wished someone to help me. They didn't, but Lord, help them that next time they don't do. When I said that, I took things on my own hand, begin to build that wall. Each time I go there, it's like I feel like the anointed God is there helping me. And that's why when I come home, I'll go, I'll take the light. Because through that time that I'm working on, I can feel like this bonding. Prayer. And before I know, God sent some neighbor, very nice people that I would have not, but my daughter met them, that I would have not met otherwise. They came to the machine, dug it for me. And God literally said, you see, they are like angels are sent to help you. You didn't even know them. You didn't even ask for it. They came. It began to show me different things. And then I was supposed to go to get people to help me. I was dragging my feet. And one day by the U-Haul in Woodbridge, I drove this way. I found two people. I told them the price. That told me how. I said, no, that's too much. Because it's about half the work. And then I said, just leave. Just go home. Just do with your son. Then I went to Costco buy gas. Someone said, go back. I went back. I went the other way now. And then I found other people. I was getting one guy. And he said, hey, if you get us all three, just give us this, we share. And we got into the car. And the guy sitting in front of me, who seems, you know, very, eloquent, he began to speak. Oh, you speak French? Yeah. And then before you know, he begins to tell me Hebrew words. I said, wait a minute. And he begins to speak languages. I said, wait a minute. This guy here and now, we are this. And then we begin to talk. He began to tell me how God, what God had done for him, that he's so grateful. I'm like, wait a minute. And then we begin to talk. He was supposed to come to church with me today, but something happened, and he said he worked too late, he couldn't come. But we begin to talk about God as we are walking. It was just supernatural. God was telling me, you pray. And yesterday morning, when I was doing the thing, I finished before they came morning, Saturday night, Friday, I feel on the seventh step. And I was calling my wife, I said, oh, I'm on the seventh step. And then when it came, I prayed. I said, oh, God, may your angel be there. We have to do a lot of leveling on the foundation. I said, God, may your angel be there. And I pray that may you touch Pedro. That be out of this, may something good happen to him. You see, that all those things, it has to be that no matter what happened to you, it has to be so that I have to glorify God. Amen. Amen? Amen? So I say, God, please let something happen to him. Something good out of this, him coming here, and help us. May your angel be there and do a leveling. So he came, and my back was kind of hurting. So he came, and he went and laid the first rock, put the gravel. The first rock that he laid, we didn't even touch it. The level in every sense was in the middle. So I told him, Pedro, before you came, I pray. That level was not done by you or not by me. We just put a ground, put on everything was level. Ever since the block was level, the thing was in the middle. I said, Pedro, he didn't do that. God did that. God was just showing us that he hear our prayer. So I would begin to tell him how God works with people. Like you have to look for simple things in your life. Meantime, God will choose simple things that if you are not living the present, you don't see. Like that level thing, you say, oh, wow, we got, wow, great, we got. I said, no. Pedro, we didn't do that. We pray is the answer to prayer. Amen? So everything, and that's what Brother Brown was saying, everything, look at all the good side of things. Because he said, I'm the one who avenge you. Amen. And don't even pray for him to hurt your enemy. Amen? Next slide, please. So, urgency to pray, okay? Right now, there is an urgency to pray. Now, a couple weeks ago, you were here when Brother Tim preached. I'm sure something that maybe is new to many of you. He preached about the seven thunders and all that. Brother Branham came in. The sixth seal vindicated him as a prophet. But the seventh seal, the seventh thunder, is what really was Brother Branham's ministry. So if we want that thing to come to us, amen? And he said, yeah, there's nothing left, as I see. But, and this is years 1956. Amen? There's nothing left. Everything I see is just a coming order. That's 1950. Brother Branham, back then, I've seen it. Amen? So if there's anything that we today, as a bride, we need to get in prayer to begin to storm heaven. Amen. Not just storm him when we are sick, when somebody got cancer, when we got to storm, oh God, may your glory, all the healing, Brother Branham saw this in part of the atonement. It's, look, how many of you will buy a house, and when you buy the house, say, okay, now, can I negotiate for the kitchen? Can you do that? How many of you buy a house and you know what? Okay, I got the house. I got the title. Can we talk about the bathroom? But that's what it is. When we accept the atonement, the Holy Ghost atonement, all those things are part of the atonement. Amen. And that's why he says, seek ye the kingdom of God first, and the rest will be added. You want to buy a house, it's a package he gave you. That main thing is to make sure you get the house first. Make sure that you are in term with him. Yes. Amen? Next slide, please. Now, I will go to this question. Okay, it's a lot of things I know to read. Now, Brother Branham said here in 1963 in Influence, he said, what we've seen happen should put every soul in action. All right? Should put every soul in action. It should make a church that will make a revival here in Phoenix, that people will be flying in from Europe to see what's taking place. They will say, there's a place in Arizona called the Maricopa Valley, a city called Phoenix. There's something broke out there until the seven thunders of Revelation 10. That is not even written in the book. It's been manifested. It didn't say it will be. It's been manifested. Amen? The power of God, the end time is here. The angels has gathered up the loose ends, and we are here. Amen? So what I'm trying to say is that, but to tap into all that power, there's an urgency to pray. It's always every revival, anything, any power of God that have come, has never come when people are just sitting on the laurels, just sitting, resting, just sitting that we are comfortable, because that God give us a promise that you're all going to rapture, you're saved, just sit on the Lord. That never come that way. It never come that way. It has always come when the people, there's a desperation strike the people. The people realize, wait a minute, this is what a prophet said, the seven thunders. Many of you may not have heard that. And yet that's Brother Branham's message for the seven. That's his message, the seven thunders. Amen? Amen? Many of you have never heard it. Then if you have never heard it, then what? We're getting along. But this is a time to say, God, you sent an end time prophet. God, where is he? But it takes desperation to move God. Amen. It takes desperation to move him. But if you just sit, okay, fine, we go to church, we sing, the choir, everything's nice, everything, we're going to go home, we have be comfortable. We have been like in Egypt. We are like Israelite in Egypt. We're fine with the garlics and everything of Egypt. Amen. Next slide, please. Okay, so what is the prayer closet? The prayer closet, it comes from the Greek word temion. Okay, temion, which means an inner chamber or a secret room. However, in the Hebraic mind, the prayer closet is not a closet, a room in the house. Now, look, they say Jesus always get up and go to a desert place to pray. Where's the closet there? I know, like I said, if you want to pray in the closet, people turn the closet in the prayer closet. That's great. If you do that, fine. Okay? But yet again, your prayer closet. When you go in the wilderness, where's the closet? Amen? So, not a physical place, but a posture of the human heart towards God. When they say, Shut in with God. You see that song? Shut in with God in a secret place. There in the spirit, beholding his face. Amen. You shut in with him, beholding his face. When you are there, but nothing else can bother you. You are sick. I have cancer. It doesn't bother you because he gave you the promise. Say, I'll heal you. You are there, I don't have a job, but he said, I'll seize your welfare. That does not bother you. They say, oh God, Father, I love you. I can glorify you enough for dying for me. I can praise you. Even if I have all the, I can take all the ocean to pain, I can't even write your love. Oh, that glorious God. Now, when you go home, I was going to read today, but I won't be able to read because I want to finish the prayer. Read on the prayer of Jesus in John 17. Look how Jesus, oh, Holy Father, oh, righteous God. That Jesus Christ praying. He said, oh, righteous Father. Really, when you get home. Oh, glorious God. Oh, thou, righteous one. That's how we approach God. All right? So what is one thing that Jesus did more than anything else? And that is over and over, look. We are all concentrating on he died on the cross. Yes, that's the finished work. We all call it, he healed the leper. He healed this. But the one thing Jesus did more than anything else, but we don't usually see it. Or we don't even read in the Bible. We don't even talk about it. Next slide, please. That's prayer. Okay. So Jesus, our Heavenly Father, he taught us to address our Heavenly Father as a King, our Father. But before that, he warned us to avoid using vain repetition to get in that secret place and shut in with God, our Father. Okay? Now, in Luke 5:16, Jesus said he does nothing but what the Father shows him. How will he know what the Father wants? How would he know that? He had to be in constant communication with God. That's what Jesus did most of the time, pray. He said, I do nothing unless my Father shows me. Amen? Being in constant communication with him. What about us in our daily life? How do we differentiate between perfect and permissive will of God? How do I know this is a permissive will of God? God letting me do? There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. How do I know that? From the perfect will of God, how do I know that if I'm not in constant communication with him? Amen. How do we even know what exactly is the message of the hour? It's not just coming to, it's not just I don't wear, I'm not wearing, I'm not wearing long dress. The army should beat you by far on that. It's not saying I'm not drinking. The army should beat you by far. Amen. I was talking with a Hindu the other day. He told me about a town in India. They'll beat anyone by far talking about brother love. They're there for each one. They'll serve each one. They'll beat you. But what is the message of the hour? What is the message for the rapture? If the rapture just come and say, wear long hair, yes, it's part of it. He told them, don't do this, don't do it. Is that part of it? So if you're just doing those things, you don't know the message, you're not going to address the rapture. Amen? There is a message for the rapture. But John just said, because I go to church here, I'm not wearing a long dress, I wear long hair, I'm not doing this, I don't wear lipstick, I don't have hair. That's a no. What is the message of the hour? It has to be a revelation to your individual. Amen. That is what God wants of us, that constant communication with him. Next slide, please. Our Lord Jesus. Now let us examine the earthly life of our Lord Jesus and Savior, Christ. We read and pay more attention to the miracles and healings of his. But one thing he did more than anything else that often go unnoticed is a prayer. And look at all those scriptures. They say as his habit, he wake up early morning away from his disciples and go to isolate place by himself. That secret place, he's shutting in with him. I do nothing unless my Father shows me first. Amen? All those scriptures are put there, you know, that love scriptures. Else the prayer itself is going to be a long series. Next slide, please. Now, Brother Branham, perspective on prayer. Well, Bram said, you know, there's something about getting alone to yourself. You see what Jesus was doing? Get alone to yourself. Amen? That closet they're talking about. Because instead of a closet, I hear people say, oh, man,
I move all my the coat from my room, and I have a nice place in my closet, and that's it. Yeah, that's good. That's physical, okay? Many people never pray until they come to church. Many people think that the only place to pray is at church. But the Bible said for men to pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Amen? And then when we get by ourselves, we usually pray differently than what we would if we pray in church. It's a secret power that Jesus spoke of, saying, enter ye into a secret closet and close the door, and when you have did so, pray to your Father who sees in secret, and he that sees in secret shall reward you openly. And when we are praying like that, there seems to be something to the prayer that takes all the hypocrisy out of it. It's, amen? Amen? It seems like that we get in a better connection with God. You see that bunny I'm talking about? You get better connection with God to get alone. And there's been many times in my life, as perhaps in your life, that you just have to get alone once in a while with Jesus. I've took my car and drove down the road and just studying. After I got to the highway where it was free or off on some country road, till I would become so filled with his mercies and goodness, till I would just stop the car and held the wheel and wept like a baby. Next slide, please. Amen? That being alone, many times, no, I think I read that already. No, that's it. Many times I've climbed up into a mountain where every man thought was with me, I was going hunting. Go up there and sit down a rock and just look up to the skies until look like that my whole innermost being become filled with something that you could just feel. Oh, everything of the world seem to pass away. And what I prayed before, what is just to remove you being alone with him? Because man, the devil bring a lot of distraction. You go to pray this one, you're doing this, and then you can't make that connection with God. Amen? That's the secret place they're talking about. Amen? You feel, oh, everything of the world seems to pass away, all for those precious hours alone with God. And it's there that when the greatest revelation, look at that, that's the greatest revelation and inspiration comes in when we are alone with God. We take more time on that. I'm sure we take more time on that, but we will live a better life, more victorious life in Christ. Next slide, please. Brother, I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying it just as certainly as I know how to stand here in this platform and say it. But my heart's been stirred for a time, and I know that we are ready for something. Now, come on in. And you Christians, don't stay in that lukewarm condition anymore. Amen? Amen. Don't stay in that lukewarm. Lay aside everything. Just get as close to God as you can. Walk with him. Talk with him. Let everything else be secondary. But your prayer life, stay right with him all the time. Amen. It isn't your certain time. Next slide, please. Prayer life. So our life should be a continuous prayer. Our daily life has a tremendous influence on our prayers, just as our prayers influence also our daily life. Depending on what you do, if all what you do, you care about a lot of things, a lot of distraction, it will influence your prayer life. Your prayer life also can influence, or if you're praying, must say, God, take those things away. Amen? Like me, I could have been at that wall, cursing that lady, or be mad, look what it did to me. What it did to me. But when they were right at you, God, get glory. And so when I go there, I can feel. And that, I don't know where I get the strength from. Yes, I'll do my wife's turn until you do it to my come home. I can feel I can walk more. It's just that God showing you, I'm with you. Take a right attitude, everything that happens to you. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's how you can influence it. So what you do, the way you can influence your prayer and your prayer, so both influence each other. Amen? Now, we must go beyond the altar call. You just come here on the altar call, okay, accept and go back. No, the altar call, that's the beginning. Amen? Okay, God cannot hear our prayers if the worldly desire of our heart cry out much more loudly and strongly. Again. Amen. You are praying, and then some movie you hear come up. Continually praising and thanking God by action and by how we treat others. Amen. Next slide, please. We're almost done here. Prayer life. Remember, I said now, that's what we do sometimes. We go off on a tantrum somewhere and not think about God, not pray over it. Ask the Lord whether we should do it or not. And we find out that our supply of blessings is cut off. Then we wonder sometimes, well, wonder why I can't have no more blessing. You don't watch, you let down in your prayer life. You say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, that's a more sign you should pray. More than ever, read the Bible every day. Pray every day. Don't make any decision too harshly or too quickly without first considering God about it. Ask him, shall I do this, Father? Ask him, is it your will for me to do this? Then see what the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He might not give you a vision, but he will speak in some way to you. Amen. To let you know if you be sincere and ask. Next slide, please. Amen. Brother Branson here, I think we've come to that spot. We've come to a Kadesh Barnea. That's where we are now. Look at the thing up in the world. Look at the young people. Nobody knows that. And I was saying yesterday, you know, Brother John Martin preached about number 17, change of system. There'd be a lot of killings. How many people die in Florida? 17. We are changing of system. Look how everything all of a sudden, all a movement that we never seen. So that means for a Christian, we are at Kadesh Barnea. Amen? When God has given an issue, the church to call a halt and back to prayer life, back to consecration, back to a spot that we consecrate ourselves away from the things of the world, away from our little petty differences among us. Amen? And get back to God and brotherly love and humility, back to the power of God again. Amen. Next slide, please. That's it. I made it. You see, exactly 15, I made it. Praise the Lord. All the glory to him. All right, let us pray. No, I'm very happy, brothers. I'm very happy. Let us pray.
Can I say something?
Sure. Yes.
That is the only thing that I was in my heart from the last
Dominic. Thank you.
Amen. Sometimes, but I might didn't say, tell anybody that I'm the one preaching.
That's right.
Somebody is coming to me.
That's right.
It doesn't give names. But all of a sudden, any preacher comes, whatever we need, God give it to us.
Yes.
Amen. So we thank God.
We thank him.
I want everybody to take this for notes.
Thank you. That's right.
Friday, Monday to Sunday, just tell the Lord, anyone who comes, please give the word to him.
Amen. 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 And that's what it should be. Before coming to church, pray. You know who we're going to pray, but pray that God anoint the minister, that God can use him as a mute instrument to talk to us. Not anybody coming here, anybody can read, can say things. People can repeat Brother Branko. You can repeat Brother Branko all day. But if it doesn't come from your heart, if that comes from him, it means nothing. Thank you, my brother. Let us pray. Dear precious Lord Jesus, we thank you and we give you glory, honor, and thanks. Thank you for what you've done for us. And Father, help us to get back to our prayer life. Father, as we see all these things happening, we know your coming is nigh. But your prophet also told us it will take desperation. People coming to you, storming the heavens. Oh God, sincere prayer, not selfish prayer for our ego, so that you bless us and give us better house and money, but for your glory, for your kingdom to come, for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, help us, and Lord, we pray that may you bless the oncoming service, bless the speaker, and bless all the church. May you have your way, may your Holy Spirit have his way, may your love flow. May you bless everyone, and may we give you glory. And Father, once again, help my friend Jackson Palanjo in Tanzania and his wife to find their daughter, Lord. We commit it onto your hands, Father. May you get glory out of this situation. We pray and ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be dismissed.